Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone on this, it's sort of cloudy day in New York, and it's sort of on the chill side. That's what I feel. I don't know. How is it down there in Nashville? Come on.
It's kind of gloomy. I spent most of last night sitting out in the field with one of my old horses, Smoker. She's like 9,000 years old, and she was down, and I figured this is it. You know, I stayed there and stroked her face, and she wouldn't get up, and then finally I went up to sleep, and I heard the coyotes howling, and I was like, oh, gee, she's gone. I got up this morning, May. She was standing at the gate looking at me like, what the hell? Where did you go? Where's my food? Yeah, standing there. Yep.
The old fart. You know? Hey, you know, it's just crazy, but it's been a strange week also since we last talked. And our guest, who you know we love, and of course is our friend Billy Amendola, who I'll bring on in a minute. We saw each other the other night with his real wife Chris and his other wife DJ
Billy has
Maria
a bunch of wives.
Yeah, I know he's got a bunch. You got to join the harem with us. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, you know, fortunately for him, he has a stunningly adorable, gorgeous wife who really has such a great attitude about it all that she laughs it off. And Chris has her share of her extra husbands, too. But, you know, the thing about Billy, of course, we're talking about journalist Billy Amendola, the Modern Drummer. He's also a musician. His son, Matty, has his own studio. But Billy has an actual history with Prince, and that's what we're going to talk about today. He's been called the only man who could put on high heels and lipsticks and still take your woman.
I know. Hey, before we bring him on, did you hear about this thing that Ted Cruz and what is it, Gasek, they're pulling themselves together to fight Trump? I mean, this is like
I don't even pay any attention to it anymore. I really don't. I think that Prince passing away was such a diversion to shake us up and realize life is going on in spite of this circus. And
I know,
especially for people our age, you know, so, let's get to it, because I really want to talk to Billy about Prince and about his experiences. You know, a lot of speculation out there, May, about how this happened.
I know.
What difference does it make? Let's talk about how he lived in his life and his legacy as opposed
to
how he
died. I just remember seeing him. Billy, I was with Billy. We were backstage, and I saw Prince, you know, a few feet away from me. He was standing there. I didn't say hello to him. He was busy in conversation with somebody else and did not want to look in his direction.
He was kind of a weird dude, intensely private. He certainly put the ambiguity, and without further ado, Billy Amendola, welcome to the show. Share us some of your tales of Prince.
Thank you. Good morning, girls. Good afternoon.
Good morning. You're actually on this time, not listening like a voyeur.
I know. I'm actually up, and I remembered, and it's good to – hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Billy. Kisses from your would-be other wife.
We had a good time.
Yeah, you know, I'm able to laugh a little bit now, but I mean, I was shocked and stunned for a couple of days. I think, like as everybody, you know, just couldn't believe it. I knew he was having some problems with his hips over the years, and I knew that he was in excruciating pain at times, and he was afraid to go to the doctor. So I guess, he just figured that he could just pop a pill and feel better and do his show. But as we all know, that becomes a habit, and that becomes a bad habit. But
It really does. That's why.
And,
yeah.
And he's shy. You know, a lot of people didn't realize that he was a shy. He was a shy person. Like, you know, as outgoing as he was kind of shy. And people kind of took it like, you know, a different way. But when you got to know him, you realized that he was really pretty normal. And I mean, he was.
Well, you know, the persona. I mean, you know, you and I know a lot of people, Billy, and you know that the persona on people when they're out and they're you know, they expect you to be that person that you're on stage. And
right.
Then when they get off, they're somebody else, and they go, I didn't realize he was like this, you know, or whatever. But we know quite a number of people like that. John was like that, really.
I mean, everybody. I mean, you know, you have to turn it on when you have to turn it on, and then, of course, you turn it off, and, you know, you become the normal person, like, you know, that – only your family gets to see. Yeah, like me, exactly. I gotta keep up. You know, I'm out in the clubs every night drinking, and people think I drink all night long. But meanwhile, you know, I drink either tequila or vodka, but I have one, and then the rest is water. And people think I drink all night long. And it's like, you know, they ask me how the hell you do it all the time. It's like, that's how I do it. I let my secret
out. It's the
Amendola
secret. Yeah, it's the Amendola
style. Yeah, I'm drinking
style.
Water.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I drink, they see me now with one glass of wine. That glass of wine stays at, what, a little of the small level there. You know, I just maybe take a couple of sips.
Oh, you, yeah, getting you to drink is a project.
Yeah, May is a, she's a lightweight. She's
I
a
do
lightweight.
Get a drink of tequila every once in a while, though. Well,
God.
We won't go there.
We won't go
okay.
there. Once in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon.
So I'll tell you about my first encounter. My good friend John Blackwell, who's been, he was Prince's drummer. He was his drummer for 14 years over the years. And then the last couple of years, he went out and toured with Justin Timberlake. So Prince had always changed band members and musicians all the time.
Love John.
But John was great. So when Prince and Larry Graham saw John playing with Patti LaBelle, you know, they sit on the side of the stage and they watched him. And then a couple of days later, John called me and he said, hey, you're never going to believe this. I just got a call from Larry Graham saying that him and Prince were at the Patti LaBelle show and they want me to come out to Paisley Park and just hang out. And I said to him, wow, that's going to be great. And I knew what a great drummer John was already. So long story short, he went out to Paisley Park and he got the Prince experience about what it was like to be like there for a couple of days and still didn't meet Prince and didn't know what he was doing there. And then finally he got to meet Prince and he jammed and played with Prince, but Prince still didn't talk to him. He just would, you know, play with him, jam, and then walk out the room, and John would not know what would go on for the next couple of days until he saw him again. And then after a while, obviously Prince knew how great John was and he asked him to be his drummer in his band. So we were going to put John on the cover of Modern Drummer because at that point that was a great story for him. And I said to John, I said, I would love, because I always like to think a little bit out of the box, I said, and this is going back in, I think it was 2001, and I said to John, I said, can you ask Prince if I could interview him, like a couple of questions for your piece? And John was like, oh no, we can't talk to Prince. You got to make an appointment, and you can't just go up and talk to Prince. And I was like, what? I was like, just... And you know me, May. It's like I talk
I know,
to everybody. So it's like I was like, no, just what's the big deal? Just mention to him that you're doing it and you're going to be on the cover of Modern Drummer. I'm
it's
sure
not
he,
as easy.
He knows about
like
it.
That.
And it would be a nice thing for him to do for you, if anything. And we would love because Prince, going back in the day when I was growing up, Prince was always one of my favorite drummers. And I could go back to the first time I was in Modern Drummer magazine as an artist when I was in my band. And they asked me who some of my favorite drummers, and Prince was one of the drummers that I acknowledged as one of my favorite drummers. So I knew he was a great drummer, and I thought it would be fantastic to have him in the magazine talking about drums. And everybody at work said to me, oh, you're insane. Prince doesn't even talk to the press. You're never going to get him. That's crazy. And then John kept saying to me, yeah, I can't ask him. I can't ask him. And I said, well, if it ever comes up before your story, before we do, you know, we do it, let me know. And then I interviewed John, and the cold cover story was coming and everything. And I said to John, did you ask him? He's like, no, I can't ask him. I'm not allowed to talk to him, and I have to make appointments with his manager and his lawyer and everybody. And I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. I was like, just ask him. And then time went on, and then I forgot about it. We were getting ready to put that issue out, and John calls me at the office one day, and he goes, Prince said fax over the questions right now. So I had to drop everything I was doing, and of course, I wanted to do it, so I had to come up with 10 questions, and he said, only send 10 questions. He said he's only going to answer 10 questions. So at that time, it was still fax machine, so I stop everything I'm doing. I get my 10 questions together, and I fax them over, and they go over to Prince. And he sent back 8 questions. He wouldn't answer 2 of the questions. I forget which 2 it was, but he wouldn't answer 2 of the questions. He answered 8 out of the 10. So there it was. I had my interview with Prince, and it was going to be a little sidebar. And then we wind up putting Prince, a little tiny picture of Prince, on John's cover with John, a little tiny picture that Prince actually sent me. And it said, Prince talks drums. So that was the first time that I ever like had any kind of association with him. And then from there, I kind of like John's was in the band, so we would always see each other, and I would go see Prince when John would play. And then in 2005, Prince wanted to be on the cover of every magazine. So John was going to be on the cover, of course, and then I said, will Prince be on the cover with you? You know, can we do the story and have Prince be on the cover with you? And Prince had said yes, but we wanted him to have drums or have a picture of him with drums, and he said, well, I don't know about that. And then, of course, it went back and forth. And then to set that up was totally insane because we set it up, and then Prince would call back and say, no, not today. Okay, set it up again. Prince would call back and say, no, the stars are not right. I'm not doing anything for a month. And meanwhile, we had a deadline. We had deadlines and everything coming up, so I was like, well, what are we going to do? And everybody's like, you're crazy. He's never going to do it again. He did it that one time. You got lucky. You know, he doesn't talk to the press. He's not going to talk to the press. But long story short, I'll tell you quickly. They call at the last minute. Well, we were going to do the interview, and then John had a tragedy, a horrible, horrible. I don't even like to talk about it because I get choked up even talking about it to this day. But in the middle of while we were going to do this, and John's on tour now, and Prince is at his peak, his musicology tour is happening, and he's doing all his old songs again, and everybody's talking about him, and everybody saw already how great John was. He was one of the best drummers in the world. And then John's on tour, and his 2-year-old daughter, Gia, was found in the pool. She drowned in the pool while he was on tour.
It was horrible, yeah.
It was just something that, as everyone knows, that's just the worst thing that could possibly happen to a parent. And we didn't know what Prince was going to do because we thought he was just going to replace John and get another drummer, and the tour was in the middle of the tour. But Prince did the right thing. He stopped the tour. He gave John his private jet. He flew him home. He paid for the funeral. He did everything that he could possibly do. And then 2 weeks later, they resumed the tour at Madison Square Garden, and John got a standing ovation that night when he came out before the show even started. It must have been a 5-10-minute standing ovation. And I saw John that night. It was with his dad, his late dad, and it was just a horrible thing. It was just so bittersweet because John was so happy that he was on tour with Prince doing what he loved, and then that had happened. And then I figured, well, that's it. When the interview, you know, we're probably going to even pull the cover story on John. But John wanted to talk about it, and then he said Prince still wanted to do it. So they called a couple of weeks later and said, okay, Prince said, meet him at the Civic Center in Hartford, Connecticut today. It was like that morning. So I grabbed Maddie. You know, Maddie was like 12, 13 at the time, whatever he was. I said to him, you're taking a ride with me. We're going to go. Prince just called. Take a ride with me. We're going out to Connecticut. So we go out to Connecticut. We get stuck in traffic. I'm late. But I had spoke to John, and I knew that John and the band were behind me. So I knew, even though I was an hour late, I knew that they were still going to get there after me. So I got there. We got to the Civic Center, and about a half hour later, Prince walks. I didn't see Prince yet, but his whole entourage, everybody walks in. John walks in. They were all apologizing for being so late. They thought I was there for hours, but meanwhile, it was only not even a half hour that I was there. So it kind of made me relax a little bit. And then I said to John, I said, well, you're going to come with me when I do the interview, right? And he goes, oh, no, I can't go in. It's just, you know, Prince is just going to probably want to see you. And I said, no. I said, you know, you're going to come in because I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll feel comfortable. You'll feel comfortable. He'll feel comfortable. So he's like, well, I don't know. So long story short, the guy comes. He comes over to me, Taku at the time, who was taking care of Prince, and he said to me, Billy, you can't have a tape recorder. You have 15 minutes. Don't touch him. Don't go to shake his hand or touch him. Don't look him in the straight in the eye. I was like, what? I was like, he doesn't like to be misquoted. How am I going to interview him and remember everything he says? And if I don't have a tape recorder, like, sorry, that's the way it goes. Everybody, that's the way they do it. He doesn't allow tape recorders, cameras, or anything. Don't ask to take a photo with him, and don't touch him. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, this is ridiculous. And then the guy walks out the door. So now I look at John. I go, John, I've never been nervous ever in my life interviewing or meeting anybody. I go, this is ridiculous. He goes, oh, man, that's the way he does it. You got to be cool and don't like fool around because, you know, he knows I'm from Brooklyn. He knows I like to fool around. And I'm pretty comfortable around people. I don't care who you are. You know, it's like, you know, whatever. So now I'm getting a little nervous because I'm like, oh, how am I going to remember what the hell he's saying? How am I going to – I got to take notes. Am I allowed to take notes? And so anyway, the knock at the door comes. He opens the door and he says, the guy says to me, Prince is ready for you now. So I walk out the door and there's Prince on a golf cart with his bodyguard. And he goes to me and John, get on. That's all he says. So we just barely get on the back of the golf cart.
Where did you leave Maddie?
Maddie had to stay with the band. Maddie didn't care. He was playing basketball and hanging out with the band and he knew everybody in the band, so he had to stay in the dressing room with the band,
okay.
And he was fine.
All
so
right.
We get on the golf course, and Prince floors the gas pedal and takes off. I almost fall. I grab the side of the thing, and I go to John. I go, John, I fall off this thing, man. I'll be collecting Prince royalties for the rest of my life. And John's going, shh, Billy, man, shh, Billy, don't say anything. Shh, shh. And I'm going, are you kidding me? And then John goes, he's messing with you, man. He's messing with you. I was like, well, he's messing with me. I was like, he better slow down or whatever. So John's going, oh, man, shh, be quiet. So he's wailing around now. We're in the Civic Center, and he's in the Civic Center wailing around on this golf cart, and he's driving it. And he stops short, and he'd look around, and he'd go, no, not here. And he'd take off, and he'd go to another spot, and he'd stop short, and he'd look around, and he'd go, no, I don't like it here either. And he did this like 3 or 4 times, and then he stopped. And he got off, walked over, and he goes, we'll do it here. And he walks in, and me and John are, like, walking behind him now. I still didn't say 2 words to him, whatever. We sit down, and he sits down. The bodyguard asks him if he would like anything. He said he wanted 2 cookies and, I think, a cup of tea. Nobody asks us if we wanted anything or anything, and, you know, guy leaves, comes, and Prince turns around. He says to me, so where are you from? So I look at him. I say, I'm from Modern Drummer Magazine. Thank you for this, and gives me a look, and he puts his eyes down. He looks at me. He goes, I mean, where are you from? I go, oh, I'm sorry. I go, I'm from New York, from Brooklyn, New York. I said, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I thank you for taking this time. So I said to him, they told me I can't have a tape recorder and everything. He goes, no, you could take notes. He goes, but when I tell you to put the pen down, you put the pen down. If I tell you to put the pen up, you could take your notes. I said, okay, great. So I start with the interview.
Gosh.
So we start the interview, and now, meaning they told me I'm only going to have 15 minutes. All right, so we start the interview, and we start talking, and we're talking drums, and he actually knew my band at the time. I was in a band called Mantis in the 70s. He actually knew about it because we were a funk band, so he actually knew about it. We talked about Tony Thompson and stuff. So anyway, I would ask him a couple of questions that I needed, and he would say he would answer the question, and if he didn't want me to really get what he was saying, he would talk really fast, and he knew that I couldn't write it down. If he wanted me to get what he was saying, talk slower, and he would actually wait for me to write it. If I asked him a question that he didn't want to answer, he'd go to me, pen down. I put the pen down, and then he would answer the question. And then we actually spoke about God and spirituality, which is something that I won't talk about what we spoke about, but it really made me feel good. It made me, like, I got some answers that I got from him about God and about spirituality and why we're on this earth and blah, blah, blah. So that was pretty good. And then we went back to the interview. He'd go, pen up. And then I picked pen up. And this went back and forth. Long story short, we spent an hour and a half together until they came to tell him that it was time for sound check. He stood up at the end of it. I asked him, I said, I know they told me that I'm not supposed to touch you or shake your hand or anything. I said, but I would really like to shake your hand, and I appreciate what you did today, and I'd like to say thank you because you've been a big influence on my life. He put his hand out, he shook my hand, and then he pulled me in, and he hugged me.
Wow.
Nice.
And
nice.
Then he just walked away, got on the golf cart, and took off and left me and John there, and we had no idea where we were in the place. We had to walk all the way back trying to find where the hell the stage area was and how to get back. And John turned around to me and he said to me, wow, Prince must have really liked you because he never spends that much time with anybody. And he hugged you, man. I was like, I said, I'm on it. I was like, I think it went great. He said, great. He goes, this is amazing. Okay, so that was that. I had my story. And then Prince actually invited us to soundcheck, and he let Maddie go to soundcheck. Maddie got up on the stage, was playing John's drums, and Prince was walking around the arena doing his soundcheck, and we hung out soundcheck. And then the next day they called me and said, you know, Prince had a great time with you. Would you like to come to the video shoot? They're doing a video shoot in Brooklyn, and he said that he knew you were from Brooklyn. Would you like to come to the video shoot for Cinnamon Girl in Brooklyn and hang out for the day? And I was like, absolutely. So 2 days later, I was with Prince again. We were at the video shoot. And one funny story I'll tell, Maddie probably kill me for it, but we're at the video shoot, and at one point, Prince trips over all the wires and falls right onto Maddie, and Maddie catches him and picks him back up. Prince kind of got, like, a little embarrassed, and Maddie was, like, laughing and kind of goofing on him because he fell. And we're walking to lunch, and he was, I forget his second wife's name that he was married to at the time, and they're both walking in front of me and Maddie, and they're directly in front of us, and Maddie, I don't know, he's 12, 13, he looks at me, and he goes, hey, Dad, look, they got the same exact ass. And I grab Maddie's, and I put my hand on Maddie's mouth, like, to shut him up as we're walking behind me. And Prince kind of just, like, turned around, looked at me, and gave me, like, a little smile, and then just turned around and kept walking, and then we kind of all went to lunch.
That's so funny. That is
and
funny.
Then over the years, you know, I was invited to private parties, at, you know, his famous parties that we would have afterwards. And sometimes he would talk to me. Sometimes he wouldn't, you know. Sometimes, you weren't allowed to talk to him, so he wouldn't let anybody go. If you were in a hallway and Prince was coming, everybody used to have to turn around. And
yes, I experienced
while he walked
that
by.
One.
Remember that,
that
when we were backstage? When we were backstage with Questlove and everybody,
yep.
Halle Berry, there's a whole bunch of people. Everybody's all over the place. And a couple of times, you know, me fooling around, I would go, Prince is coming! And everybody would turn around and face the wall. And, of course, Prince wasn't coming. But, you know, I had to bust chops because I kind of thought that was ridiculous. But,
well,
you know, that's what he wanted, so.
Hey, listen.
Well, Billy,
you know?
do you think, Billy, that he built up this persona, this mysterious persona, so big that he had to go along with it? Like, it got so big that it really got beyond him being
no,
able to
he was really shy. He really did have, and he did, and everybody wanted, you know, everybody wanted something from him. So he kind of like, it was hard to get close to him, but if you did get close to him, then he kind of knew. But he liked to play games with people. He even if you were friends, he liked practical jokes. And, you know, he made Lawrence Fishburne one time sit all the way up, like, in the back row. And he was trying to impress his girlfriend at the time. He was going to the show, and he gave him tickets, and he made him sit, like, in the last row of the arena, just, you know. He would always do, like, little things to just, you know, to tease people and bust chops. And he would do certain things, and we actually spoke about it, and it was a respect thing. And he wouldn't give me a picture. At one time, while I was doing the interview, after doing the interview, we were going back and forth, and I could have sworn at certain times he would say I was talking to his assistant as we were emailing back and forth, but I could swear at certain times it was Prince, or he was right behind the person telling them what to type. We were going back and forth, and he gave me a really hard time. He did appear on the cover holding drumsticks with John sitting on the bass drum. It was a great cover.
That's good.
That was a great cover, but I needed a picture of him inside playing the drums. And up until, like, the day before, after 3 weeks of trying to get this picture, he wouldn't send the picture. He would send me photos that had nothing to do with him on the drums. And everybody was telling me, if we don't get the picture of Prince with the, you know, at work, everybody was saying, if we don't get the picture of Prince with the drums, we may not run the interview, which I thought was totally insane. But I was like, well, that's insane, but I'll get the picture. Don't worry, I'll get the picture of him behind the drums. And it was till the day before, the last day that it was at my absolute cutoff, he drove me crazy. And I said to him, listen, tell Prince, remember the conversation we had about respect? Tell him right now he's disrespecting me, and I'm really hurt about it. I need the photo now of him behind the drums. And an hour later, I got the photo of him behind the drums.
You gave Prince a little come-to-Jesus moment, and he came through for you.
That's
wow.
Right.
He
was probably messing with you the whole time, Billy.
I know he was, and he knew that I kind of was getting that he was doing that to me, and he was trying to guess to see how far I would go before I would start, like the Brooklyn in me would start coming out and saying, I'm going to send somebody there and kick your ass. If you don't send me that picture right now, we're going to pull the story, you know. But he, you know, that's just the way he was. But that's what made him so cool, because he liked to do things like that. And he would ask people for things sometimes totally ridiculous, and his entourage would run for it. You know, he wanted a camel one time at 2 o'clock in the morning because he said he was going to film a video. And he made these people spend 3 days getting him a camel. He didn't want the camel, and they got the camel for him and everything. It cost him a fortune to do it, but...
But he loved doing that stuff.
He loved doing it, and people would... He wanted to see if they would do it. So he would just come up with these ridiculous things sometimes, and people would do it.
Hey, Billy, we're running out of time. Your stories are great. We're going to have you back.
You have
to join us.
I mean, that's my Prince thing, so now I don't have to tell the story 1,000 times. I could just tell people to listen to Blog Talk Radio.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, girls.
You
told me that. No problem. I remember you telling me the story at one of the Beatles things, and I was like, it didn't surprise me, but, you know, to hear, I just think for someone, there must have been a part of him, and you say it was his shyness, there must have been a part of him that was so introverted that this is the only way he could control Prince. And who was, you know, who had access to him. And I understand, Billy, they're saying there's about 600 songs of his that he wrote that haven't even been released.
Oh, there's probably more. He had told me that he'll be like Jimi Hendrix, that there'll be music. You know, I guess he thought he was going to live to an old age, but he was saying that long after he's gone, you know, generations, 3-4 generations below Maddie, would have enough music to hear for the rest of, you know, forever. Because in that vault, I know for a fact that he's got thousands and thousands of songs.
Yeah, could you imagine? Because he's up all night. He's got the studio. He lives there.
He lived and breathed in the studio. I mean, that was his thing. He lived and breathed music. And he was great at everything he did. He was top notch at every single thing that he did when it came to music. And his spirituality, everything about him, I mean, he's one of those people that I think, as he said, you know, we're all put here on earth to do what we have to do, and then we move on. So I think, you know,
well,
he's going to live.
Well, there'll never be another one. There'll
never
be another
one. He's going to live forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, so anyway,
thanks
I'll be
so
seeing
much.
You soon. Yeah,
but
thank you,
girls.
We love
thanks,
having you
Billy.
On. Yeah.
Hey, come back and you have something coming up. Quick, tell us about it.
Oh, it's my band Mantis. It's our 40th anniversary this year, and we just recorded 4 new songs with Maddie producing them, and hopefully people are going to get to hear 1 or 2 of them. Probably, I'd say maybe in a month or 2 months by June, July, maybe.
I can't wait because I know the group, and it's great. You're great.
Well,
so I'll be seeing you soon, buddy.
Yes.
All
right,
Billy.
Cynthia, I hope I see you sometime soon.
I'm hoping so, too. And say hello to Chris for us, please.
I will. Love you, girls. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What a sweetheart.
Wow.
Sweetheart, you know?
Billy,
sweetheart.
I mean, Billy knows everybody. And, you know, it was really generous of him to share those stories. And it just, the mystery will never be solved of this man we know as Prince. Never. And he certainly, there'll never be another one. And his music will go on forever.
Yes.
So
it took us right up to our time, our ending. Hey,
I know.
Listen, Whatever's coming up, we could discuss it next week. And Mother's Day is coming up, and I almost forgot about that too. So let's.
Okay.
We'll be, you know, and my friend Mark Preston's birthday is this weekend. Happy birthday, Mark. And, you know, I'll be seeing you.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. See you later.
All right, honey. I'll talk to you later. That was May Peng. I'm Cynthia Nielsen. You've been listening to Dinner Specials on Blog Talk Radio.